Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Okay, here we are in another Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode. I am joined by Brad Bearmotter, the host of Locked On Rams. I am Brian Peacock, host of Locked On 49ers. Always love getting together with the other hosts on the network, and it's always a lot of fun talking with Bear. So welcome, Bear, to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Like we just said, kind of off mic, it's just I'm out in Chicago, just got back into civilization, getting caught up in football, being excited about how close we are to another divisional matchup. Not one that when we talked in the offseason, what we really thought where we would be at this point, but it's exciting nonetheless. We saw when the Rams went up and played Seattle up in their stadium that, you know, we got a bigger fight than what we expected. And so lots of stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, and the NFL tends to do that. I know a lot of 49ers fans are down, but it's you have to remind people that this league will flip you on your ear when you think you know exactly what's going to happen. And the 49ers almost pulled one out on Monday Night Football, beating the Packers on the road. Nearly did it, but the 49ers seem to find a way to lose by 3 points every time. So I think I'm going to just pick the 49ers to lose by three every game the rest of the season, because that's about what it comes down to. They seem to have that ability to lose. Right now, looking at the lines, the Rams are favored, even though the 49ers are home. That is by 10 points the Rams are favored. Obviously, the Rams are unbeaten. It is not a primetime matchup any longer, which is probably very I bet the Rams are more angry about it than the 49ers because they didn't have anything to do with it. You know, you're undefeated, and you're sitting there like, well, what else do we got to do? And I think it would still be a pretty good matchup. So, but I think it's just that they didn't want the 49ers to be on so many primetime matchups down the stretch if they weren't going to be very good. And so I understand why the league would want to do that. But this matchup, I think, could still be a lot of fun.
No, I totally agree with you. And you had kind of mentioned about your loss this last week, which was heartbreaking. And I actually talked to my brother because I was playing him in fantasy football. I was down by like 62 points. I didn't even watch the game because I just figured I checked in on the score. And he goes, you know, let Brian know, one, I feel his pain. I had to watch that game. And you guys had it won at many times. But Aaron Rodgers just did what Aaron Rodgers did. And I got a fantasy win by 1 point. He texted me the next morning. I thought I was just had no shot. And came back and beat him in fantasy. But he's like, tell him I feel his pain. That should have been a W for the Niners. So you're right, though, coming into this week on how this matchup can play out and be pretty well. And there were a lot of Rams fans that were pretty upset that we got our primetime matchup because, you know, some of the fans on the East Coast, and they think, wow, I finally get to watch my team in primetime and it's taken away. But I don't think that's going to take anything away from the game. Another big spread for the Rams. I think they were favored on the road in Denver and then on the road in Seattle as well. Both those games came to be pretty close. So when the Rams are favored by a lot of points, it really doesn't seem to help them in that direction, at least in the last few games. But it's going to be a fun matchup for sure anytime those two teams get together.
Yeah, and the 49ers, not only was it important for them to stay close in a tough environment on the road at Lambeau Field, but to prove that they can just hang with teams. And so I think that's a big confidence boost just for the locker room and the team. And C.J. Beathard played his best football. It helped for him to have his best weapon, which is now Marquise Goodwin. And I think it's pretty clear that Marquise Goodwin is the number one weapon for the 49ers offense. He looked really healthy. He's explosive. So I think that's a huge thing for the 49ers. And they can run the ball on just about anybody. They're number three in the league in rushing yards per game, tied for second. But the Rams are also a very good running team. I think the Rams are the only team ahead of the 49ers right now in yards per carry. The 49ers are rushing at about 5.1 per clip right now. And Matt Breida, a big part of that. And Raheem Mostert even had a really nice game last week. So the 49ers can run the ball. You've got a big play weapon in Marquise Goodwin. That's a good start, at least offensively, with the way the offensive line has been playing, and that's really solidified the offense is the play of the offensive line. So looking at what that offensive line is going to be going up against, some monsters there on the Rams defensive line. Have they been as advertised so far?
You know, the first couple games, yes. The middle section, not so much. Last week, it seems like they got their footing a little bit better. We held Denver under 100 yards, I think, have to double check this, but I think that's the first time we've done that all season as far as against the rush. And talking about how you had mentioned, you know, Breida and that running attack that we're going to have to face up with, is still a little scary, I think, for us in Rams Nation as we look at it. We saw some improvement, but once we start to see back-to-back production there, we are starting to see our you know, some of the big guys up front like Aaron Donald and Sue really do what we thought they were going to do as far as creating pressure on the quarterback. And there were signs of, you know, seeing that run defense get better. But I think that's still going to be one of our big scary points of the team as you look forward throughout the rest of the year. And it's going to be a great matchup to have a team in the division come in who, you know, lean heavy on the run. There's no better time to really get, you know, really to get some practice and get better in that area. So we'll see how that matchup happens. And you mentioned, you know, the play of CJ Beathard and, you know, having one of his best performances. I want to give him a little credit because I feel like for stepping in, you know, the unfortunate situation that he's done overall not too bad, right? I know they just signed Tom Savage. Are they starting to kind of, is that more for depth or are they actually starting to be like, well, this may not be long-term. We need to, you know, if we're going to be in this position, maybe we can throw a couple other guys in there. Do you think it's his job still for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, absolutely. From what Kyle Shanahan says, Tom Savage is actually going to be the number three guy, even behind Nick Mullins. So I thought one of those guys would at least go to the practice squad, which would likely be Nick Mullins, because with all the injuries the 49ers have, it's hard to carry three quarterbacks. But I think the thinking is from Shanahan is that that Savage has some NFL experience and C.J. Beathard is a tough guy and he will eventually get hurt is kind of the idea because right. Just the way he plays and his style of play, he takes a lot of shots. But the good thing for C.J. Beathard is you're seeing that growth and you're seeing that development. And he looked a lot better in the pocket this week compared to last week. So it's been really up and down. His first start was like, okay, he did all right. And then the next game, even though he threw it 54 times, he just took a pounding, didn't feel pressure in the pocket, didn't step up, didn't check down, didn't get rid of the ball quickly. He was a different guy this week in Green Bay. And so that was really nice to see. You see that development happen. You know, development curves aren't linear. I talk about that a lot on Locked On 49ers. And it's definitely been the case with C.J. Beathard. It's been up and down. But last week was probably on Monday Night Football his best outing as a pro. And he was getting rid of the ball quicker, only got sacked a couple of times. The 49ers offensive line did a good job. He found his weapons. And I think it really helped to have Marquise Goodwin out there for him.
Yeah, that is going to be a good matchup, and you talked about the quarterback and Goodwin back out there creating some havoc. What we'll do is we'll take a break right now. We'll get some words from our sponsors, and when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about your defense and what the Rams can expect offensively in that matchup. So we're going to step aside real quick, get some word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more of the Locked On Crossover with Brian from Locked On 49ers and myself, Bear, from Locked On Rams. We'll be right back. All right, guys, before we move on, I want to talk to you about one of our new sponsors. I'm super excited about them joining us. They are Rooftop Cinema Club. If you guys don't know about this, I'm excited to talk to you about the Rooftop Cinema Club has landed on a rooftop near you. That's right. Come watch the latest releases and cult classics under the beautiful skies. Movies by moonlight, breathtaking views, delicious cocktails and food. We are putting the celebration back into the cinema. So come and celebrate with us. Screenings in Hollywood, downtown LA, San Diego, Houston, New York. I know we got listeners all over. So if you guys are in any of those locations, they're all on sale now at rooftopcinemaclub.com. That's rooftopcinemaclub.com. Make sure to check out that website for full lists of times and shows. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, at Rooftop Cinema Club, and Twitter, Rooftop Cinema, for updates. They host special nights, Q&As, photo ops. The whole night is a party from beginning to end. Their mission statement is, we believe that all experiences should be memorable, which is why we are on a mission to transform nights at the cinema to stunning rooftop views, sunsets, starlit evenings, friends, loved ones, awesome drinks, delicious food, and great movies on a big screen. I mean, can you get any better than that? So join their movement, bring your friends, and they'll bring the fun. Promo code LOCKEDON10. It's valid till the end of November, so make sure to take advantage of it. We'll be talking about it here on Locked On Rams. They gave us that great discount, so make sure to use that promo code LOCKEDON10 to get your discount And snap me some pictures or tell me what movie you guys are going to. I'm going to be checking out one here in Hollywood or the downtown LA one soon. But make sure to hit me up and let me know. Again, that's rooftopcinemaclub.com, promo code LOCKEDON10.
Okay, so let's look at the other side of the ball there. We talked about the 49ers offense a little bit going against the Rams defense, and let's flip the script here and look at what's been going to be going on the other side of the ball. Obviously, Todd Gurley has been ridiculous for the Rams. He's been a monster, as advertised, and maybe a little bit more. Just the perfect specimen at running back. He's got breakaway long speed. He's got such vision and such great feet and feel for small spaces for a big running back. That's the thing that I think is most impressive about Todd Gurley. What is it like having Todd Gurley on your football team as a fan watching the Rams?
Oh my gosh, you're right. It's so much. He is so right. He's a great catcher. You know, you can line him up, and he's such a important piece that he also brings so much attention to him. So you watch a lot of plays being broken down of the Rams and the formations that they're running out of. Has been, just incredible. They do a lot of 11 scheme formations where they've got, three wide receivers, and to be able to run out of that and be successful, obviously a lot still goes to the offensive line, but McVay puts all those guys in positions. I watched this play in Denver where he picked up 18 yards and they broke down the play and was basically saying, look at some of these big, huge linemen are getting upfield on these linebackers and safeties and allowing matchups, and you're taking guys like Von Miller out of the play with scheme. So one of your best players isn't even involved in that play, and he goes and then you just let Todd Gurley do what he does and go pick up the big yardage. But the touchdowns really, again, is what will separate him from the pack. It's kind of interesting. He actually, after 6 weeks, has scored more offensive touchdowns than four NFL teams, that being Buffalo, Tennessee, Oakland, and Arizona.
Wow.
And has tied five other teams. So he's really setting up that MVP campaign again. As he leads the league in rushing, and you talked about that average yard per carry. It really helped that he put up 200 yesterday or on Sunday. But you're right. He's a special player to have. And then when you look at the big scheme and you step back, you're like, he's potentially MVP candidate. But Jared Goff is right on that same path. The last couple games, he struggled a little bit. But the numbers that he's put up early in the season, if he can find that rhythm again, I think he's top three in passing. So he's doing a lot of things that it's kind of pick your poison. You can stop this guy, but then you got to stop these guys. So that's what's been fun about watching the Rams offense. But if you look at the matchups and, some of the players on your team, talk to me a little bit about your defense and the injuries that are going on, and maybe even a little bit about Richard Sherman and how you felt about how he's played so far this season.
The 49ers defense is very interesting because there's a couple of things they do really well and everything else has been sort of a disaster. They've got some big bodied defensive linemen, a lot of hybrid end tackle types, and that's very good for stopping the run, and a young pair of dynamic linebackers in Reuben Foster and Fred Warner, who still I don't think are hitting on all cylinders together. I think that will continue to grow. The rookie Fred Warner's got the green dot on his helmet. He's the communicator out there, and that's a big, that's a tough ask for a rookie, and I think they have screwed up a few things, and they talked about it this week. He took the blame on a couple of plays because they wanted to make some post-snap changes, and just the defense has been really bad at getting after the quarterback and then covering guys aside from Richard Sherman. You asked about Sherman. He's been as good as he's ever been. He's been unreal. I think the number before last week was he's given up one reception per 146 snaps, and the next closest was, I think, Aqib Talib with 20.
Right.
So that's where he's at with not only is he playing well, he's such a cerebral guy, and he knows the scheme inside and out, and he's running routes for people. He knows route combinations. He's so good at breaking on the ball too. But along with that, he's just not getting targeted because teams are like, well, let's not waste time. And you saw it on Monday Night Football, Devontae Adams just lining up on the left side and torching the 49ers. So that's a big problem, is covering the guys on the opposite side of Richard Sherman. And then they've been banged up in the secondary, and Jaquaski Tart and Adrian Colbert haven't really played as good as they played down the stretch last year. So really it's been Sherman's been awesome. DeForest Buckner has been awesome. And aside from that, they're really still trying to figure things out. And a lot of people are calling for Robert Saleh's head because he's the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And they've just been a little bit out of sync and out of sorts on defense. And there's, I think, an opportunity for them to really start playing a lot better and be more sound in the scheme. But there seems to be a breakdown every week. It was Adrian Colbert on the first play on defense, letting a 75-yard touchdown pass go over his head. And that's just the one thing you can't do in the cover three scheme is not be home in center field. And there was a breakdown where Marquez Valdez-Scantling was completely uncovered on Monday Night Football in the first drive. So a lot of miscommunications and stuff like that that's hurt the defense, aside from not being able to get after the quarterback. And that's been the tough thing, is them not being able to stop drives, not being able to get teams off the field on third down when they have been able to stop the run on first and second down.
Yeah, it's got to be frustrating to watch, as you know, as you talk about the communication, because you see players make plays and then, you know, with lack of communication, the offense is able to take advantage of certain situations. And, you know, we're dealing with a little bit of the same with, you know, gathering a bunch of new guys in the offseason, having them communicate. And then we've had some up and down as far as injuries as well. So a lot of guys are rotating in. So we've seen a little bit of that on our defensive side. And I think that will continue until we really get a really good flow. And you also mentioned about that green dot. We've got Corey Littleton, who is our green dot. And, you know, it's his first year as far as being that vocal, you know, quarterback of the defense in a sense. And he's done a really good job taking that on, because that is a lot of work when you're going back and forth, you know, with those players. But defensively, you know, I guess it's a 10-point spread. When you see this matchup, what do you look at for the 49ers defense to walk away from the game and be like, you know, we can be proud and hang our hat on that defensively?
I think being able to... And this is one of the fun things about this matchup, and it should be this way for a long time, is the Kyle Shanahan versus Sean McVay angle. So
right.
I think for the 49ers is just to be able to play sound, and really I think it's the play action that could kill them, because I think they're going to do everything they can to stop Todd Gurley. And it's all gas, no brakes. That's the mantra from Robert Saleh and the 49ers defense. So hopefully they don't get just gassed, which has happened a few times, chasing around Todd Gurley, then be susceptible to everything else that can come from that. And so Sean McVay could do a number on the 49ers if they're out on the field a lot, and the 49ers defense is starting to slow down, and you can see it because they want to play hard, they want to play fast, and I think it's hurt them not only in miscommunications and missing some plays and not being sound within the scheme, but also just getting tired. And then all of a sudden now you've got the monster in Gurley and you've been out there and then just getting run over in the second half. So that's what I would look to, is being able to stop the run early and not just be out there all day long and get off the field. I think that's the number one key. And the second key is, well, really, so we talked a lot about Todd Gurley and how amazing he is, but I want to talk a little bit about Jared Goff, because what are the 49ers facing there? Because he's obviously taken a huge step here under Sean McVay in his second year in his system. What has the development been like for Jared Goff? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? Because I love the way he could sling it out of Cal, but he was such a young player. It looks like he's really starting to be the guy. And that's a scary combination when you have a great offensive coordinator, a great quarterback, a good running game, and maybe the best running back in the league. I mean, how do you even stop that?
Yeah, it's been super fun to watch him develop. And, you know, you heard a lot this year going around about system quarterback. And it's funny, I think him and Sean McVay, neither are bothered by that. You know, like Jared Goff at one point said, isn't that the job, to listen to your coordinator and listen to your head coach and be really good? Like, if that's what I am, then sure. Okay, awesome. But yeah, he's done so many things well. He's not only thrown the ball well with accuracy, but deep down the field, he's been able to pick up chunks at a time. I think that's what makes this offense so fun. And you talked about that play action. He's one of the best in the league coming off play action. It helps when you have, you know, MVP candidate Todd Gurley behind you. But, you know, they have to, you know, appreciate, they have to really respect that. And then he's able to take advantage. Another thing I love that he's really seen over time is not only his maturity and his leadership, which you hear from the players as they talk about, you know, how not so much serious he is, but how focused he is and not overly excited or, you know, overly emotional. Like when we picked up that first down on that fourth down play up in Seattle to win the game, he came up and did this big like Tiger Woods fist pump, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, look at all that emotion from that man. And you know, that's about as much as you're gonna get, but it really helps. But the way he moves in the pocket is another thing I just continue to be so impressed by. I think they've only given up about 3 or 4 sacks on him, and he's taken almost all the credit as being the reason why. But other than that, he just can slide so well and be able to, you know, buy some time. He's not fast or, you know, even probably in that mobile quarterback, but he's sneaky as far as getting out and keeping a play extended. So watching him just in his really second full year of starting, just being able to take ownership of that offense and hearing him talk, it's like McVay, you know, A coming out. You know, he's the second version of him, really, because the verbiage they use, the focus on football one day at a time, it's very cliche stuff, but it's working for him, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. And you're right that, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, really excited to kind of continue to see those matchups for the next couple years. And what we're going to do is we're going to step aside really quick. We're going to get another word from some sponsors, but I want to ask you a couple questions about those future matchups when we come back. So more with Locked On Crossover after this. All right, we are back, third and final segment of the Crossover Edition. Always super fun. Guys, go make sure to give us both a follow on Twitter, Instagram, wherever we are. Locked On Rams, Locked On 49ers. Brian, what's your personal Twitter?
You can find me at BD Peacock. That's where you can find me on Twitter.
Awesome. I'm at LA_RamblingBear. We're on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. Go give us a download. Go share. Go subscribe. All that good stuff. We really, really, really appreciate it. But we kind of left the last segment talking about, you had said, you know, it's really fun to watch these matchups with Kyle Shanahan and McVay. And I know Sean has been so critical of himself, even as they're undefeated. He always is. In this last game, he said, you know, I failed them a couple times with some of my play calling. We really should have, you know, had that game in hand way earlier, and it should never been an issue where they were kicking an onside kick to potentially, you know, try to come back and win. And I'm curious, how has Kyle handled, you know, basically this really slow start, and unfortunately, you know, with a big injury and just not what he probably envisioned coming into this year, as this was kind of like, yes, we've got all the pieces, we went and got Richard Sherman, we're excited about things, and it hasn't gone his way. What's his message been to the team and actually to the media or anybody that's asking?
One of the things I've loved about Kyle Shanahan since he's come to San Francisco, and similarly GM John Lynch, is they're really honest. And so he doesn't try to sugarcoat stuff. And a lot of questions these days he has to kind of deflect because, you know, things aren't going great. But he'll tell you straight. He'll tell you exactly what the read is. He'll tell you exactly what the play call was, and sometimes over-explain it and not really put it in layman's terms, which I love. And sometimes there's been a few reporters that have asked him questions, and he's kind of just shut him up because of the way he'll tell you straight, and he'll tell you what it is and tell you what the score is. And I love that. And he'll tell you about when his players, C.J. Beathard last week, he threw that interception on the last play on that last drive when the 49ers ended up giving the ball back and an interception. And then Aaron Rodgers did his thing in the final minute to come down and score. And he was like, yeah, he made the wrong read. He's not supposed to throw that ball. And so he tells it straight, and it's been a rough go because he hasn't had a lot of good things to talk about. And I think he would probably be a lot like McShay or Sean McVay in the way that he would probably deflect praise and talk about the things that could go better. But he's had to do the opposite and talk about why things have gone wrong and what could go better, and that, you know, they're still trying. And he's been trying to protect Robert Saleh from some of the criticism he's gotten. And so it's been a rough go, and I think it's one of those things where you can see why a head coach can turn gray really quick, because he's a young head coach. These are two of the youngest head coaches in the league, and you can see where he could turn gray and start looking a little bit older really quick, because you start mounting up losses, and it can be tough. But he's handled it about as well as you could ask a head coach to handle things. And so that's been a plus, I think, for the 49ers, and I think they'll get things straight And you can really, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you can see that development start to happen. You can see the offensive line really starting to play well. Seeing C.J. Beathard start to develop as a quarterback has been a nice bonus, because I wasn't so sure about him for a while. And he's at least looking like he could be a serviceable backup for a long time. And if he continues to play like he did against Green Bay, maybe, you know, he'll have some value to another team at some point. And I'm not going to, you know, say he's going to be the next Jimmy Garoppolo or anything like that. But the development of the offensive side of the ball, I think they could use a few more bullets, a few more weapons on offense, especially in the passing game, which would help. And so gets a few guys open a little bit earlier. But as far as Kyle Shanahan goes, definitely no complaints on my end. The one thing that I think, which is interesting comparing, and it's probably a lot of the same stuff with Sean McVay as it is with Kyle Shanahan, is how aggressive he is. And usually you get the criticism of coaches is you'd run it three times into a brick wall and you're like, God, why don't you throw the ball once in a while,
right?
And, you know, playing not to lose. Kyle Shanahan's completely opposite. He's completely aggressive. There was a play where he threw the ball on second and three and it ended up getting batted down and the clock didn't run. The 49ers had three timeouts and everyone's saying, oh man, you got to run the ball there. And that's pretty rare that you're telling the head coach to run the ball rather than be aggressive and go try to win a game. Yet that's where we are with Kyle Shanahan, and that's where that's what he's always been, and that's who he was when they lost the Super Bowl, being up 28-3. He's aggressive. He's trying to go win the game. He's not trying to play to not lose it.
Yeah, and I think that was a good point you said right at the end. But I think that's maybe where he really instilled, like, I'm going to be this way from here on out. Like, I will always be aggressive. And they did start to get a little conservative in that Super Bowl game, and I think that might be the end of it, right? He's going to be like, I'm going to live aggressive and I'm going to die trying. And I love that about Sean McVay too. And, you know, we talked about that fourth and one earlier, and I'll go back to it again briefly, but he, you know, he came off and he said, I preach aggressiveness and trusting my players and all this. And so when we had another opportunity to think about it, he's like, it almost was a no brainer to go and just, you know, if we can't go get 6 inches and I can't trust my guys in this offensive line that's, you know, played so well this early in the season to go get 6 inches, then what, you know, what am I preaching? I got to go live it. So you've seen it both as, like you said, with Kyle and then Sean kind of doing the same thing. Two young coaches, you mentioned two of the youngest in the game right now, have long careers ahead of them. Is there any hot seat talk for you guys right now, or people are understanding the situation and they really think they've got it in John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan? Or is that even, I know you mentioned it for the D coordinator, but is that where it stops?
Yeah, absolutely. It's and nothing, they're not going to make any changes, and they have 6-year contracts, and I know that stuff can get torn up really quick. But if they don't start winning some games in year three, I think they could start to actually be under the hot seat. But as far as right now, no. Once Jimmy Garoppolo went down, I think it was a situation where no matter what happened with wins and losses this year, they're going to be totally fine. And as long as you see some development with guys, that's where we're at right now with the 49ers, is just watching that development. So any hot seat talk, maybe defensive coordinator, just because they're all so young and first time head coach, first time defensive coordinator, first time GM. There's going to be some growing pains, but definitely nothing serious when it comes to the hot seat. Although there are some fans, and there's always going to be those fans that are definitely starting to question things, especially from the top down. Their draft looked great in 2017, and now it's starting to look not as good when you see someone like Solomon Thomas, who's picked number 3 overall as a defensive end. He's not an edge rusher, and they're not really using him inside on passing downs either. He's become just a base down defensive end. And then Akella Witherspoon hasn't developed on the other side of Richard Sherman as fast and as well as a lot of fans would have hoped. So the draft starts to not look as good as it once did. And so people are questioning John Lynch too, but none of that hot seat talk is at all serious at this point. If the 49ers come out next year and they're in the same boat again and start losing, especially with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that could potentially get a lot more serious, but right now, no, not at all.
Yeah, there's some good points in the draft, and, you know, I mean, the way this is going, you guys will have another good draft pick, so, you know, you can fill some of those slots, and like you said, though, it could be one of those things where you get a chance to, you know, see some really good high draft picks and hopefully hit on some, because that's what the Rams, you know, were able to do, I think, is really what hits this team. It's not always hitting even the top of the draft, but the middle and the back of the draft. Rams ended up with 11 draft picks, and 10 made the team. And we're really excited about a lot of them moving forward. But the draft process is so fun to watch it play out, because you don't know. You know, there's no science behind it. And it's just being able, are you good at it or you're not? We talked about this when I did Locked On Broncos, and how John Elway is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, but he hasn't been able to draft a quarterback. He's drafted a few that he's missed on, and it's kind of ironic. You're thinking, man, this guy was the best in that position, and you think he'd be able to see some talent, but you know, there's just things that you're going to hit and some you're going to miss, but you never want that to happen in your draft. You guys, I think you mentioned earlier too, a wide receiver, big time wide receiver would be big for you guys. I really thought you were going to make a run at either Josh Gordon or Dez Bryant or one of those kind of big names that was floating around that may be joining someone. We at Rams Podcast and Lockdown Rams, we were always kind of, when Jimmy G was still healthy, he was like, man, if he can get one of those big-time guys that he can just throw the ball down the field to, he's got some speedsters, but that big number one, I think, will be something important for you guys, too, moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we start talking about the draft with the 49ers, it's almost draft season already, and I know when you're 5-0, it's not so much that way, but 49ers fans are already starting to look to the draft, so we're doing a little bit of that already, which kind of tells you where the 49ers season is going. All right, well, we've got to get to some predictions here before we finish this thing up. The MyBookie line, as I mentioned before, is Rams favored by 10. Where do you see this game? Do you think the 49ers are going to, or do you think the Rams are going to win by that much?
You know, I wish. I mean, that's a tough line, right? Because, you know, you have confidence in your team, but the last few weeks, as I mentioned, has been really close. And I could see this where we do win by 10, and then I could see this thing being a field goal game at the end, or, you know, maybe the Niners put up a late touchdown to put it within 3. If I'm putting money on this game, I think the Rams win the game. I think, you know, if you're going to be as good as you think you are, you have to go beat a team that has one win, right? That you just have to do that. You have to beat teams that you're supposed to beat when their number one quarterback is out and they're banged up a little bit on defense, and you know, you got to be able to do that. And so 10 points might be tough, especially looking at the past week. So I would take the Niners with the spread, but Rams to win the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got something like 31-27 Rams. I think the 49ers, the way they played last week, if they continue on that trend, will definitely cover that 10 points. But you definitely, you know, I can't predict a 49ers upset over the Rams. Although it would be a great exclamation point and start an easier part of the schedule for the 49ers, and maybe they could start winning a few games and who knows, salvage something from a respect standpoint. I don't think there's any playoffs in the future for the 49ers at 1-5, but I think they can be respectable here on out if things continue like they played in Green Bay. So I'm going to say 31-27 Rams, but I could also see that scenario where things do go south and the 49ers do lose by double digits.
Yeah, I'm almost spot on with your exact prediction. I'd maybe have it right in that range of 34-28, something like that, and seeing the Rams get back to putting up 30 points a game. That's what we're used to seeing. The last output in Denver was the lowest points that Sean McVay's put up in his whole career with the Rams so far. So we'll see if he can turn it around and get back up to the 30-point mark. And like you said, this could be one of those motivation games where Kyle Shanahan gets the boys ready and says, hey, you know, you're looking at a record, you feel like we have nothing to play for, but let's go beat the best team in the NFL right now. And I think that's why it will be close. So, Brian, always a great time we get to have a chat. I look forward to our next one, crossover, when you guys come down at the end of the year. And I'm sure we can have some more draft talk then and some more see where this thing is going. But really appreciate it, guys. Make sure to go give everyone a follow at Lockdown Rams, at Lockdown 49ers, and then subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. Any feedback, always love interacting with all of you guys, and I'm sure Brian does too. But thanks again, Brian, for your time, and I look forward to it. Best of luck after Sunday.
Yes, absolutely. Best of luck after the game on Sunday, and always a pleasure talking to you.